وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah and blessings upon you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ورتل القرآن ترتيلا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba in Radio Al Ansar International, we're going to commence with and share with you some beautiful sayings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you is he who learns the Quran and then teaches it. The aspect of studying the Quran does not terminate with our madrasa. In fact, it can be a lifelong journey, and we must all try and perfect ourselves in the recitation of the noble Quran. Learn it and thereafter teach it to others. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should either say something good or keep silent. In other words, the tongue must be channeled in the right direction. Okay. Do not utter things with the tongue that may offend somebody, or do not utter such blasphemies, some words that have evil connotations and swearing, etc. Then verily anger corrupts faith, just like the juice of bitter plants corrupts honey. Many times you just find people become angry and then aren't able to control themselves for the sake of their nafs. This is something that is detested. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that encouraging good, prohibiting evil, lifting the burden of the weak person, and removing an offensive thing from the path are all like prayers. So your daily actions of goodness can also be considered as ibadat. A Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. He neither wrongs him nor does hand him over to one who does him any wrong. If anyone fulfills his brother's needs, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. If one relieves a Muslim of his troubles, Allah will relieve him of his troubles on the day of resurrection. Another hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who removes from a believer one of his difficulties in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove one of his troubles on the day of judgment. And he who finds relief for a hard-pressed person, Allah Ta'ala will make things easy for him on the day of judgment. He who covers up the faults of a Muslim, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cover up his faults in this world and in the hereafter. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala supports his slave as long as the slave is supportive of his brother. And he who treads the path in search of knowledge, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes that path easy, leading to paradise. The people who assemble in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning it and teaching it, there descends upon them the tranquility and mercy covers them, and the angels flock around them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them in the presence of those near him. And he who lags behind in doing good deeds, his descent will not make him go ahead. It is part of the beauty of a Muslim to leave what does not concern him. So indeed, some beautiful statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, just have a short story about Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, you know, who had become victorious and liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. A very, very humble and a very, very dedicated person in his mission and his cause. It is said that he never smiled as long as Masjid al-Aqsa was under the rule of the Crusaders, and you know, until he liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. So although he loved peace, Salahuddin Ayyubi became one of the world's greatest warriors. He was born in Tikrit in 11738 CE when his father, Amir Najmuddin, was a ruler of Tikrit. His noble father and his talented uncle brought him up. So Salahuddin was a very intelligent and noble person. He loved peace and never enjoyed fighting battles. But all changed when Salahuddin was ordered to go to Egypt with his uncle. He went to Egypt many times with his uncles to fight two enemies there, the Franks and the Batnids. After his uncle's death, he became the commander and wazir of Egypt. Salahuddin Ayyubi never lived in the palace. He was a very humble person. Instead, he lived in a small house near the masjid. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi had a great love for Islam, and as a wazir and general of Egypt, he tried hard to root out the Crusaders. For this purpose, he maintained a strong army. He established peace and prosperity throughout the country. From the beginning, many prejudiced Egyptian ministers disliked him. When they saw that he was winning the hearts of the Egyptian people, they hatched many conspiracies against him. But due to Salahuddin's wisdom, they were defeated. When the Fatimid ruler Al-Aziz died, Salahuddin became the ruler of Egypt. When Salahuddin took over Damascus, the people opened the gates of the city to him and greeted him warmly. So the Crusaders were not happy with Salahuddin's increasing power and success. So uniting their forces, they planned a decisive attack on Muslim areas. The Battle of Hittin took place. The Muslims won under the leadership of Salahuddin Ayyubi. Thousands of Crusaders were arrested, and Sultan Salahuddin treated the prisoners with tolerance. In 1187, the Christian era, Salahuddin conquered Jerusalem. Thousands of Crusaders were arrested. However, when their mothers, sisters, and wives appealed to Salahuddin, he released them. Many Crusaders were ransomed. However, he paid for many of them. In addition, he provided them with transport, etc. He allowed neither massacre nor looting. He gave free pardon to all the citizens. He even arranged for their traveling. He granted freedom to Christians to leave the city if they paid a small sum. Salahuddin paid it for himself for about 10,000 poor people. His brother paid it for 7,000 people. Salahuddin also allocated one of the gates of the city for the people who were too poor to pay anything, that they leave from there for their homes. On Friday, the 27th Rajab, 583 Hijri, Salahuddin entered Jerusalem. After entering the city, they went straight to the masjid and cleaned it. Then for the first time in more than 80 years, the people of Jerusalem heard the azan, the call of prayer from Masjid al-Aqsa. And today there is a lament in the entire world for another Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, and in the ranks of the Muslims in their countries. Unfortunately, there are so many people of position and power, but they haven't taken up the cudgels and the concern for Masjid al-Aqsa. There's another interesting story about Sheikh Malik bin Dirar. He was one of the renowned saints of his time. It is said that in his early life, he was not a pious man, and when someone asked him how he became to repent and abandon his evil ways, he related the following story about himself. He says, "I was a policeman in my youth and was fond of wine and would drink like a fish. I drank day and night and led a carefree life. I had a daughter who was a lovely child, and I was very fond of her, and she was also very fond of me. When this baby daughter began to walk and talk, I loved her all the more, and she remained with me all the time. The innocent child had a strange habit. When she saw a glass of wine in my hands, she would snatch it away and spill it on my clothes. Being fond of her, I did not scold her. As fate would have it, my innocent little child died when she was 2 years old, and I was stunned with shock and bitter grief. So one night on the 15th of Shaban, I was dead drunk and went to sleep without performing my Isha Salah. I had a most horrible dream in which I saw that it was a day of resurrection with men coming out of the graves, and I was one of those who were being driven to the place of assembly, Medani Hashr. I heard the noise of something following me, and looking back, I saw a huge snake chasing me from close behind. It was a most horrible sight. The snake had blue cat-like eyes, its mouth was wide open, and it was rushing towards me most furiously. I ran faster in terror, desperate for my life, the horrible snake still running after me and drawing closer. I saw an old man dressed in elegant clothes with rich perfumes all around him, and I granted him, saying, "Assalamu alaikum," and he returned my greetings. I said, "For the sake of Allah, help me in my misery." He said, "I am too weak to help you against such a mighty foe, such a mighty enemy. It is beyond my powers, but you must go on running. Perhaps you may find some help to save you from it." Running wildly, I saw a cliff in front of me and climbed it. But on reaching its top, I saw beyond it the raging fire of Jahannam with its most horrifying spectacles. I was so terrified by the snake that I ran on till I was afraid I would fall into Jahannam. Meanwhile, I heard a voice calling aloud, "Get back, for you are not one of them," that is the Jahannamis. So I came away and began running in the opposite direction. The snake also turned around and came after me. I saw again the white-robed old man and said to him, "Old man, can't you save me from this python? I asked you before, but you did not help me." The man began to cry and said, "I am too weak to help you against such a mighty snake, but I can tell you that there is a hill nearby where they keep the sacred trusts of the Muslims. If you go up that hill, you might find something of yours kept in trust, which might save you from the snake." So he says, I rushed towards the hill, which was round in shape, with a large number of open curtain casements. He says, the casements had golden shutters, studded with rich rubies and most precious jewels. On each shutter hung a curtain made of the rarest silk. When I was going to climb the hill, the angels called aloud, "Open the windows and raise the curtains and come out of your closets. Here is an unfortunate man in misery. May you have with you some trust of his that might help him in his distress." So Sheikh Malik bin Dinar narrates further on what happened. He says, the windows opened at once, the curtains went up, and there issued forth from the casements a host of innocent children with faces as bright as the full moon. By this time I was utterly despondent, for the snake had drawn very close to me. Now the children called their friends and said, "Come out quickly, all of you, for the snake has come very close to him." Hearing this, more children came out of the windows in large crowds, and among them I saw my dear daughter, who had died some time ago. She also recognized me and began to weep, exclaiming, "By Allah, he is my own dear father. She jumped on a swinging cradle, which seemed to be made from heavenly light, and darted across me. Next moment, she was standing by my side, and I took her to my bosom. She lifted her left hand towards me, and her right hand motioned the snake away. The snake went away immediately. Then she gave me a seat and sat in my lap, and began to stroke my beard with her right hand, saying, "My dear father, has the time not yet come for those who believe that their hearts should be humble for the remembrance of Allah and for the truth that is descended through revelation? So they must not be like those to whom the book was given before, but a long period passed on them in which they did not repent. Therefore their hearts became hard, and thus many of them are sinners." So I was moved to tears and asked her, "My daughter, do all of you know the meaning of the Quran?" She replied and she said, "We understand the Holy Quran even better than you." I asked her, "My dear child, what was the snake?" She said, "It was your own evil deeds which had made it so strong that it was about to push you into Jahannam." And I asked, "Who was the white-robed old man?" She replied, "They were your good deeds that could not help you against the snake, though he suggested to you a means of escape." I asked, "What are all of you doing on this hill?" She replied, "We are the children of Muslims who died in infancy. We shall live here till the day of resurrection, waiting to be reunited with you when you come to us at last, and we shall intercede for you with our Lord." And then I awoke from my dream with the fright of the snake still heavy on my heart. I turned to Allah in repentance as soon as I arose and abandoned my evil ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us take heed from this lesson and let us prepare for the year after. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.